Good afternoon, everyone. It's always a challenge to start a session after lunch. So I have that challenge. Plus, in the morning, we had some of my colleagues that you may see some of the slides are somewhat dissimilar as the ones I'm presenting. But I'm going to walk you through our recovery and how the industry is progressing. Now, one thing I tend to like to do is engage the public. So this is an intimate setting today. So at any time you have a question, you want to challenge me, you're not in agreement with me, feel free to tell me and we can have a debate. So I have a lot of slides. I'm going to go through them quite quickly, but I do want to have, if there are questions or comments, please feel free just to raise your hand. I won't speak too much about COVID. The pandemic, we're kind of leaving it behind us, but I think one thing that is really important as an industry, when we look at air travel and tourism, the world is now open for business. And in Latin America, in the Americas, we've been open for quite some time, but you would think the country that is our leading air transport market in the world would have been the one leading, and actually was the last one to fully open its market. The U.S. just rescinded its restrictions in May, just a couple of weeks ago, because you had to be vaccinated. There were protocols that you were had to comply in order to come into the U.S. But China opened, the rest of Asia Pacific has opened, and now you begin to see where the world is moving. The recovery is shifting. We are now beginning to get back to, you know, some people will use 2019 as the backdrop, as the measuring stick. Other countries and other regions are looking at 2022 as a measuring stick. So we've really evolved over the last couple of years. You will see the line in yellow, and that's Asia Pacific. It is has some work to do before it really comes back to full recovery. And that's because primarily China was closed until the first quarter of this year. We have other markets in Asia that remain with restrictions until then. So one of the things in they tell us, when will global air transportation be back to normal? And it's going to vary. Even our data, and I'm sorry, you may not be able to see it very clearly. Even in this region, we talk about 2024 before the entire region is fully back to 2019. But there are other regions, when you look at it, like Asia Pacific or Africa, it's going to be 2025 because it is the challenges, not so much of COVID, it's how long it's taken them to restart their mechanism in terms of air travel. But when you look at Latin America, it varies. It depends where you are situated in terms of the recovery. And one thing what we look at a lot on is connectivity. To me, connectivity really tells a story on where we are. And we'll look into a little bit more details than that. But we divide it into three sections. North America, which is U.S. And Canada, Latin America, and then the Caribbean. You look at North America and Latin America and Latin America and North America, routes have returned. Actually, we have more destinations today, more city pair connections today than we did in 2019, which means the region is an attractive part of the world for airlines to look at new connectivity. So we're flying to new places that we did not fly to in 2019. What has not returned is the frequencies, the number of flights that you fly in a common day or in a week. That's an area where we're beginning to see. But it's not so much related because of COVID in many cases. It's because the industry has not been able to restart in the same manner we did before. And what I mean by that, many of our carriers retired a lot of airplanes that have not come back to the market. Boeing, Airbus, a lot of the manufacturers are delayed in their deliveries. So that impairs you from recovering in the same manner. The other aspect is manpower. We are struggling still in having enough manpower to be able to operate what we had. So the good news for a region like ours, it's the connectivity. It's more airlines want to fly to our region than we did before. What we have to improve on is getting the frequencies, and that will come time with more people coming back to the work and more airplanes back online. And when we look in terms of what the patterns have been, and while we may talk about 2024 may be the year we're fully back as a region, when you look at different parts of the region, in some places we're already way above that recovery. You look at Dominican Republic today here, and it leads our region in terms of the number of routes and frequencies. You have more flights, more airlines flying to the Dominican Republic today than they did before the pandemic. And that's a country that took advantage of the pandemic to the benefit. And if you look at business cases, that's probably a very good business case to look at. What the Dominican Republic did during a crisis to stimulate travel instead of closing borders like many of the other countries. So when you look at Canada or Argentina, they're struggling to recover what they had before the pandemic because the restrictions that they put in place, the policies that they had in place because of COVID, prevented accelerating their movement of people. And when we look at different countries, and I know Jaime presented it this morning in his overview, you look at countries like Mexico, really took advantage of the pandemic again to really stimulate movement of people within their country. And when you look at international recovery, Colombia took advantage of that scenario, along with the Dominican Republic that also had a very strong movement of people moving. It showed us during that time of the pandemic, once you remove restrictions and barriers, people need to get on an airplane, want to get on an airplane, and are getting on airplanes. Now, these two examples, Colombia and Mexico, are not regional examples. These are global examples. So again, when you look at a global magnitude and you compare our region to Tokyo or to France or to Singapore or even to the U.S., and you have countries like Mexico and Colombia that are leading in terms of passenger recovery on a global scale, that really tells you the story of how important air travel is to our region. Now, during the pandemic, we talked a lot about cargo, and we haven't really spoken a lot about cargo in the region recently or in the global stage, because the mindset is, wow, cargo is booming, and we heard many airlines purchase new airplanes, reconfigure their airplanes to move cargo. Well, look how quickly our industry shifts, and those of us who are in this industry, it shifts overnight. So cargo during the pandemic and shortly after was the darling of why airlines, if they were in the black, they remained in the black, or they were able to survive because of the movement of cargo. But because of the economic crisis and the war in Ukraine, we've seen now cargo is actually now struggling less than a year and a half later when it was really booming. So again, it's another illustration of how fragile and volatile our industry can be if we have a crisis, and it could be a political crisis, an economic crisis, a social crisis. And we've seen it with COVID on the passenger side, and we're seeing it now with the economic struggles and the political struggles with cargo. And when you look at the cargo and you look at the recovery of the airline business, you kind of think about, well, this is a great industry. It's a sexy industry. It's an industry which is really important to global society and economic development, but it's an industry that really doesn't make a lot of money. And we're proving it again and again and again. Now, this year, we'll make about $4 billion in profit, which it's a success story considering the last couple of years, but certainly not at the levels we were before pre-pandemic. And when we looked at the $4.6 billion, $11 billion is going to be solely on the U.S. or North American market. So they're making money. The rest of the world is barely making money. And that's what happened last year. U.S. carriers made money. The rest didn't. This year, the Middle Eastern carriers and the European carriers will come back online, which for a region like ours is very important, because that shows you're going to have European and the Middle Eastern carriers looking towards this region to grow. And that's what's going to bring more connectivity to our part. Now, from a Latin perspective, we're expecting $800 million. So we, from a Latin carrier, Latin American Caribbean perspective, we still have a lot to do. It's not that the airlines that are here in Latin America are managed worse or they have worse airplanes. The challenges that we have as a region are much more are much larger than they are in other parts of the world. And here you can see a little bit in terms of what profitability will look like in other regions. So $800 million worth of losses here in Latin America. European carriers are estimated to make about $600 million, but that may be shifting depending on the fuel, and may shift also because of the crisis in Ukraine continues to persist. So that may all be very much on a variable basis because it may change. So I had this before, challenges and opportunities. And I said, let me be positive because I am starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's going to be a struggle. I thank God we're giving free coffee outside. So I said, let me start with opportunities and challenges. Let me be positive. So one thing the pandemic has proven is how important aviation is. And I'll tell you about what I sometimes think, what government think. But you know, I had three bullets, and you know, aviation is the public transportation of the 21st century. During this crisis and post, it was demonstrated. During the pandemic, you know, this industry basically saved lives, because early on, doctors and medical equipment that were being manufactured in China and India and other parts of the world were being shipped by airplane. All the vaccines, 94% of the vaccines in this region were shipped by air service. So anyone that thinks that air transportation is not important is solely mistaken. When you look at many of our politicians, many of the governments around our region and around the world, what they're talking about economic and social recovery is travel and tourism. We're going to, you know, travel and tourism is where we want to focus. And that is in Europe, it's in Africa, it's in Latin America, it's in North America. So anyone that says that air transportation is not an important function in our economic and social recovery or development is certainly mistaken in today's environment. I think, and one slide I always like to show, and I know Jaime showed it before, is our, what's the value proposition of our industry? It's moving people and goods from one place to another. And in a region like ours, where it is so complicated to move. So if you want to come to the Dominican Republic, you're coming by air. You can't come by car. And if you come by ship, it's going to be a while. Okay. And if you're in Colombia and you want to move from, you know, from Bogota to Cartagena, or from Rio to Manaus, it's going to be by air. We do have competition. And when we start thinking many times that competition is, you know, Lufthansa with Iberia or American with United or LATAM with Avianca, yeah, that's the commercial. But really, in our region, the competition are the buses. Vast majority of the population in Latin America still move by buses. And when you look at what the industry has done, is today it is cheaper to travel by air than it is by bus. It's also quicker and safer. I don't know how many of you have gone by bus in Latin America for 4 or 5 hours. It is not the most luxurious way to travel, okay? So you're traveling with goats sometimes, you know, open windows. If the bus breaks down, you're not going to get a hotel or free meals. So I love politicians in our region. You probably heard me be very critical that in the U.S. or in Europe or Latin America, they want to, you know, make the airlines responsible when there's a delay or when there's bad service. Well, go on a bus, and then you kind of measure where we are compared to another industry of transportation. But as an industry, in terms of connectivity, we still have to do a lot, particularly in Latin America. When you look at the U.S., when you look at Europe, people get on airplanes, take trips over two times a year. In Latin America, we barely get to one. We don't get to one. Only two countries get over one trip a year, and that's Panama and Chile. So when you look at Brazil, a country of 200 million people, Brazil is the size of Europe, and you don't even get, you know, 0.45 trips per annum. There's a lot of opportunities to do it. But as an industry, we need to understand, how do we stimulate more movement? If there's one slide that we should be showing our politician, this is probably one of the most important slides, because it shows how important air connectivity can be for movement of people. The more people move, the more people are going to spend, and then you're going to have more economic and social benefits in that. Just to make sure you guys are awake, do you know which is the country that has the most travel per year? Take a wild guess. UK, no. France, close, no. One more guess. Spain, 4.41. Spaniards love to travel. So they're on an airplane four times a year. And when you look at a size like Brazil or Argentina or Peru, barely to one. So that's where the opportunity is, particularly when you look at growth over the next 20 years. Growth over the next 20 years, you see 2.5% year-over-year growth in Latin America. 117 million new passengers will get on airplanes. Obviously, we're not the leading region. If you look at Asia Pacific, the amount of travel that you're going to have booming there is going to be massive. But one thing is interesting here, particularly in Latin America. If I would have shown the same slide in 2019, the forecast that we had was 4.6% year-over-year growth in Latin America. So we've actually lost 2% year-over-year growth because of the pandemic and all the political and social upheaval that we have in the region. So these charts will fluctuate depending what the economic, social, and political situation will be in our region. And what we hope is that we can get back to that 4.5% growth year-over-year as long as our government officials and politicians are doing the right thing. And we'll talk about that. And that's what these are the things that we need to do right as a region. Focus from our side on four sides. One is infrastructure. How competitive are we as a region? The regulatory framework and in the environmental responsibility and sustainability framework. When you look at airport infrastructure, and you know, one of the big things that we talk about around the world are slots. And for anyone that doesn't know about slots, it's basically we have to implement slots because we're restricted at airports. So IATA helps lead these policies, and you know, many times they think, well, IATA loves to implement slots. From my perspective, I hate slots. I hate slots with a passion. Because when we have to implement slots at airports, it means our airport, we have a good problem. If we have too many people wanting to go to that place, so demand is high. The challenge is that we have restrictions to operate into that airport. So we're not growing the airport infrastructure quick enough to receive all the new influx of more passengers and more passengers and more aircraft. We have over 240 slots airports around the world. 32 of them are in Latin America, either level 1, 2, and 3. So we are beginning to see, and as I showed you in the slide, there are more airlines with more frequencies to more places that airlines want to fly to. One of the biggest challenges that we have as a region is the growth over the next several years because of the limitations that we have, because of airport infrastructure is limited or the airspace is saturated. So that's going to impact, and those of you who are airlines, in your growth, because you may not be able to fly to certain airports at the time that you want, and that at times is a no-go. You will not fly because you're not a point-to-point airline. Most of airlines have back to hubs, and you need to operate when it's most efficient. You know, you probably could fly to many of these airports at 2:30 or 3 in the morning. Most airlines do not want to fly or are unable because it does not help with their operations. So infrastructure is a major issue that we have to overcome over the next couple of years to make sure that we have enough efficiency to be able to continue to grow. The other is taxes and charges. And, you know, Jaime, again, there was a lot of discussions about this in the morning. We have countries in our region and around the world where 65% of the tax of the air ticket is solely taxes. So don't think you're paying $200 and it's all going to the airline. In some cases, 65% of that goes back to taxes. So what am I getting in return? I'm not getting the infrastructure because the airport's slotted. I'm going through these horrible, you know, experiences throughout the airport, not because of the airport, because of immigrations and customs and security. So what am I getting out of it? And when we talk about the value of aviation, if governments want to prioritize travel and tourism, the first thing they need to do is eliminate the taxes, because you can't stimulate movement without stimulating air growth. And by increasing by charges and taxes, that just will not happen. It won't help airports. It won't help the communities. So when I hear a minister talk about we want to stimulate travel and tourism, the first thing is, when are you going to slash taxes? Because one thing is for certain, and I say this in Dominican Republic, I say this in the Caribbean, I say this in Colombia, I say in the U.S., we are no longer in a market, in a playing field that we're competing against neighbors. Dominican Republic doesn't only compete against Cancun or Varadero. Miami does not compete only with, you know, Tampa or with Cancun. Rio is not competing with Santiago. We're all competing on a global stage. And with someone, I live in Miami. If I came to Dominican Republic today and I wanted to come for same time as going to Punta Cana or going to Dubai, what do you think is cheaper if I plan my trip for July? Dubai, which is 14 hours, or Punta Cana, which is an hour and 45 minutes? Dubai is actually cheaper. When you look at the taxes, it's way different. Look where Dominican Republic is. So it makes it very difficult. Ecuador actually is probably been the most proactive state over the last couple of years in terms of reducing taxation. I will say Dominican Republic at the same pace too. They stimulate the movement. So these numbers, they actually will change. We hadn't updated them in improvement. But Argentina just imposed a 32% increase in taxes. So you have Dominican Republic, you have Ecuador slashing to stimulate, but Argentina just imposed a 32% tax. So where are they going to go? So consumers have a lot of opportunities to look at where they want to go. And as ministries of tourism, as airlines, as airports, we have to work very collaboratively to make sure that our markets are competitive. Because you're not competing with Varadero or Cancun. You're now competing with Bali or Mallorca or other places around the world, because air travel today is very competitive. And you're not slated to only one airline. You can pick many, many airlines. So charges and taxes are a key part of the government in terms of changing a mindset and making your market much more competitive. The other shift, particularly in our region, and I was saying this before, I used to say the difference between North America and Latin America from a political standpoint used to be in Miami. I used to call anything north of Miami, Dade County, you know, it's pretty defined. The political scene is pretty stable. You know, they're pro-aviation. And I used to say anything below me in Miami was like the Banana Republic. We didn't know what we would get in Latin America. Well, today there's no line anymore. It's no longer Miami-Dade. You could go to Washington, D.C., and they're looking at the same crazy regulatory proposals as they can be in Colombia or in Argentina. Governments are trying to become much more engaged, much more involved in the airline operations, in letting the business run its own course. We're probably the most overregulated industry in the world, and it's becoming much more challenging. And while politicians may say, well, we want to protect consumers and make sure that airlines held accountable, I think no airline will say, absolutely, we should be held accountable. But let's be accountable on a level playing field. And that is something that is not occurring in many parts of the world. So one of the things, you know, and I did this purposely, is, you know, customer expectations. And when we look at customer expectations, you know, we're all, at the end of the day, we may work in this industry, but we are customers, we are passengers. And we want an industry that is going to give a favorable experience, a positive experience. And when you look at the passenger experience in many cases, it's pretty challenging nowadays. We have long lines at security, immigrations, we have to fill in forms even before we depart. The experience may be very good in one airport, it may be very bad in another. And not because the airport infrastructure is any bad, it's because the processes, what we have from a regulatory standpoint, from a governmental standpoint, is very chaotic. So you can go to an airport where you're not talking to anyone. Actually, you board an airplane by just putting your mobile phone on these scanners, and you're going through security, you're going through immigrations, you're going through the check-in point onto the airplane. You haven't spoken to anyone until you get to the flight attendant. In other places, you've spoken to 25 people before you've gotten to the gate. So we have to modernize as a system. And as an industry, we also need to modernize. And many of you may have heard about new distribution channeling. It's also known as modern airline retailing. It's all about consumers, and we have to start thinking more about the consumers. Today, the consumers have much more flexibility. They're much more knowledgeable. And as an industry, and from an IATA standpoint, from standard settings, we have also gone and having to change that experience. How airlines interact with travel agents and how they interact with customers. Because customers have higher expectations. Customers want to be in more control of their journey, which is, if you look at it from an industry standpoint, our industry really hadn't changed in the last 40 years. The last big transformation we did in our industry was probably e-ticketing. And for those of you who are old enough, the new generation, you know, we used to have a paper that used to permit you to travel. You know, it used to be called a ticket. It was a paper ticket. And, you know, that's probably the last big transformation that we eliminated. Now it's all about transforming the passenger experience, giving them more control of their options in terms of travel, of the total experience, how they're going to invest and focus on their travel. And that for the industry is a significant change because we have to change our IT systems. We have to change the way we interact with GDSs, with the travel agents. And that you may think is very easy. And while we create the standards, implementing, it's a very, very different dynamic. And you probably have heard a lot of changes because you've seen American and Lufthansa and Iberia and other airlines said, we're going to a brand new NDC platform or new retailing platform. And basically what you will see if the industry does not get along with or does not align with those airlines implementing, the pricing scheme that you see on their websites will be very different from what you see in your travel agent's booking engine. So it is revolutionizing the industry, and that will continue to change. So from our standpoint, in terms of what the airlines have to do, it's looking at reviewing and modernizing the standards. Because again, passengers will go where they have the most options on their hands. And those airlines that are being successful today are the ones who are able to adapt and implement the technology. And lastly, it's also sustainability. You know, passengers and consumers are looking at the sustainable, their footprint. How is it impacting our industry? In Europe, just this week, France implemented their new scheme of travel where between certain cities, there's no air service anymore. It's by train. You go to Sweden or some Nordic countries, and it's almost shameful to fly. So as an industry, we have done quite a lot to implement and be responsible, but we have to do a much better job in terms of communication, how we communicate those messages. And we talked about, I think Pedro was saying it this morning in the panel, the challenge that we have in Latin America is the lack of regulatory incentives to really push SAF across the board. We will not be able to meet our targets unless we're able to have SAF development in the region. What good is it to fly with an aircraft with SAF fuel from Europe or North America if you cannot fly back to your hub airport? If there's one region that can take advantage of its natural resources and become a global producer of SAF, it's this one. North America does not have the capability. Europe does not. Latin America has all the ingredients because of the natural advantages to really become a major producer. And Jaime, I think, was the one who showed it. There's only three countries that have actually started really to look at it and implement it. That will not get us across the line. That will hamper our growth in the future because if we cannot meet the timelines, if Europe continues to implement certain restrictions, that will have consequences, particularly on the Latin carriers, to be competitive through on a global network stage. So I'm just going to end up there on the bright side. You look, recovery has returned very strongly in our region. Air transport is not a luxury. As much as our governments want to impose taxation or blame the industry, air transportation is no luxury. Everyone, we are buses that move people through the air much more safely, much more efficiently, and even cheaper. The industry has an increasingly important role because global connectivity is so important today. But there's one, you know, we talked about some of the obstacles. there are urgent issues that need to be addressed. Governments need to play a much more active role, need to play a much more collaborative role. The industry in no part of the world is trying to walk away from its responsibilities. What we do need to have is an equitable playing field and platform where we can discuss these issues with our respective government. Because one thing is for sure, if we don't change the mindset of our governments in Chile, in Argentina, in Colombia, in Mexico, in the US, in Canada, this region will not be competitive and the growth will go somewhere else. In places like Dominican Republic, Ecuador, where they're actively engaging with the industry, looking to promote, reduce taxation, become much more competitive, these countries will be much more successful on a global stage. And Dominican Republic and Ecuador don't want to be successful on a regional. They want to be successful on a global stage. They're looking for global connectivity, not regional connectivity. And the game today, it's all about the global connectivity. Regardless if you're a U.S. carrier just focused on particular parts of the world, you're still acting and you're still competing on a global stage. So with that, I don't know if we have time for questions and answers, but I want to thank you for your time. Appreciate it.